Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
And let me tell you, the problem in our human race is sin. And the only covering for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. And what we ought to be marching around talking about is the blood of Jesus Christ and the healing of Jesus Christ and the unity of Jesus Christ and the covering of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid a price he did not owe.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth in Stewardship.
Well, one of the fundamental principles of the Christian life is this: God is the owner of all things, and we are the stewards of God's ownership. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve, and he told Adam that he was to steward the garden. He was to care for the garden. God gives to us many wonderful blessings, and then he says, I want you to take care of them. I want you to steward them. And we think of stewardship in many areas. I think, for example, of one of the greatest blessings that God ever gave to me. He gave Terry and I 4 children. How many of you know that the children are not yours? Children are the heritage of the Lord. And God gives us children, and he says, I want you to steward them. They're my children. I want you to treat them the way that I would treat them. I want you to teach them what I want them to learn. What a great stewardship, raising a family. And many times through our lives, God gives us possessions and God gives us talents, and he says we're to steward them according to his will. Now, sometimes when we think of stewardship, we think about maybe borrowing something from someone that is not ours. Maybe someone says, here, you can have my car, take care of it, and you're conscious of the fact that it's not yours and you're stewarding and caring. Or maybe you rent a car, and as you're renting that car, you're aware of the fact that it's not yours. You want to take good care of it, so when you turn it back in, there's no dings on it. Or maybe you rent a house, and you're aware of the fact that you do not own that house, it's someone else's house, and when you're done renting it, you want to get your deposit back. And so in life, we steward many different things. And in the passage before us, God is teaching us how to be a biblical steward. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 15 was speaking to the Pharisees in Jerusalem. He was giving parabolic teachings to the Pharisees, but in Luke 16, he is turning his direction to the disciples, and he begins to teach them about how to handle money, about how to handle the blessings that he gives unto them. He is reminding them of the fact that as stewards, one day they would give an account to the owner, to the master, for the way that they handled his blessings. And so this morning, there are 3 basic principles that all of us need to learn if we are going to be stewards of our master. How many of you would agree with me by way of introduction that God is the owner of all things? And that every good gift comes from God. Are we all together on that? And that we are simply the stewards or the managers of God's things. And so let's learn how to do our best in reaching forth in stewardship. Notice, first of all, the requirement of stewards. There is a requirement of stewards. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, the word steward is the Greek word oikonomos, which speaks of a manager of an estate, someone that is managing the affairs of another. So this steward, what is required of the steward? Very simply, 2 things I want you to jot down. First, we are to steward faithfully. The steward of this particular estate was to be faithful with the possessions of his owner. A steward is one who manages the affairs of another. Let's say that together. A steward is one who manages the affairs of another. And so we are to be faithful. Now, in your notes, I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful." Let's say that verse just for fun, shall we? "Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful." Now, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 is speaking about the Bible. And really, it's talking to pastors and teachers and saying that we are to steward the Bible well. We are to be faithful. How many of you believe the Bible is a gift from the Lord? We're to steward it well. Preachers should not take a verse and make it say what they want it to say, but they should rightly divide the Word of God. They should steward the Bible well. And it is required of a steward that a man be faithful. And so this is the most important characteristic of a steward, whether it is with our time, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, redeem your time well. Whether it is with our talents, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, that we receive those from the Lord and we're to use them well. Even the gospel itself, the Bible says, don't hide the gospel, but steward the gospel. And of course, our treasures are to be stewarded well. Now, sometimes when we talk about stewarding our finances and treasure, sometimes people get a little bit nervous, like, you know, those churches, that's all they ever talk about and this type of thing. And let me just remind you that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke deals with possessions, deals with stewardship, or money. Jesus gave 26 parables. 26 times Jesus used parabolic teaching to instruct his disciples. 16 of the 26 times he talked with them about money and the way that they handled money. The reason was, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. He knew that they needed to learn how to steward faithfully in order to have a right biblical philosophy of life. So, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. All of us are to take what God gives to us, whether it's our families, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our bank accounts, our investments, and it should be stewarded in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Notice secondly, not only are we to steward faithfully, but secondly, a steward will give an account. Very basic this morning as we begin, but a steward must steward faithfully because he will give an account. Now notice in verse 2, it says, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship." So the owner comes and says, "I'm hearing that you're squandering some of our resources. Give an account of your stewardship. I want to see how you're handling these properties and these investments." Now, may I remind you this morning that all of us one day will give an account to the Lord for our stewardship. And a Christian steward lives with that view in mind, that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Notice, if you would, in Romans 14 and verse 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou rest at naught with thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Let's say that last verse together. "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." One more time. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Now, in the Greek, every one of us means every one of us. Right? In other words, if you're a Christian, one day you'll have the opportunity to stand before the Lord and give an account for how you stewarded the blessings that He gave to you. And what I want you to realize is that God oversees our stewardship, and He is interested in the way that we manage His resources. And this is what Jesus was teaching His disciples, that there are some requirements for every steward, and the requirements are that we steward faithfully, And the requirements are that one day we will give an account for our stewardship. So, pretty basic so far. How many of you are with me so far this morning? Say amen. All right, good. Just want to make sure that everything we have comes from God. It's not our stuff, it's His stuff. And He wants us to manage it and care for it well. All right? Let's notice, secondly, then, this morning, the responsibility of stewards. The responsibility of stewards. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Suddenly he realizes, I haven't been doing a very good job with my boss's stuff. What am I going to do to make this right? And in verse 4, he says, I am resolved what to do. So that if I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he begins to call his master's debtors. Now, we're going to look at what he does in just a moment, but I want you to notice in verse 3 this question, what shall I do? How many of you have ever had a time in your financial life when you realize, whoa, the credit cards have piled up a little bit. Wow, that interest rate's not real good. Whoa, I didn't realize I should be giving more to the Lord than I'm giving. And maybe suddenly something came to your awareness and you recognize, you know what? I'm not handling these things very well. And like this steward, you say, what shall I do? What is my responsibility? I really believe that every Christian ought to have moments like that. Maybe in January as you begin the year, or maybe once a month looking at your budget. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, the responsibility of a steward, I want you to notice, first of all, it's personal. It's something that we should take personally. In verse 4, he says, I am resolved what to do. He said, I am going to take this personally. I am resolved that the way I've been doing this job of managing my master's things, I'm going to do better at this. I'm resolved. And you know what? It's good to make resolutions. It's good to say, Lord, I want to honor you in the way that I take care of your business. And as we think of this personal resolve, we see that it's going to affect his future. We see that the way he does this job may very well affect where he lives in the future and how God blesses him in the future. You see, he was a man who saw and says in verse number 4, if I'm put out of the stewardship, I want to still retain some business affiliation. I want to make the best to finish well with this responsibility. Now, let me tell you something about life and about the future. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, it's very, very important that we think about the future. And when you're planning your stewardship, that you say, Lord, help me to plan well. Help me to think about eternity, laying up treasure in heaven. Help me to think about my family here on this earth. That's why many young men, as they're starting their family and having children, will buy a term life insurance policy. And they'll say, I want to make sure that if something happens to me, my family is cared for. And suddenly they come into a place of responsibility where they begin to resolve to take care of what God has given to them. And this is the spirit of the steward. He said, I am resolved to do better than I've been doing. Now, some people lose resolve and they just live by emotion and they make impulsive decisions. I'm reminded of a man that called the police not long ago and he said, I need to report that my wife's credit cards were stolen. And there was a pause and then he said, but officer, don't look too hard for the thief. He's actually charging much less than my wife normally charges on those cards. And there are some people like that, right? They're just kind of impulsive. They're going along, not really checking the budget. Not really resolved, not really disciplined, just acting like they can go on this way forever. But all of us are going to have a wake-up call, and I want to encourage you, don't wait until you see Jesus face-to-face to resolve to do better in your stewardship. This is something that we can begin even now. It needs to be personal in my heart. I am resolved to do better at this. Notice, secondly, it should also be progressive. Stewardship is more than just a come to Jesus moment or a one-time decision. It's a daily process. It's something that you daily are aware of what God is giving you and how you're investing it, how you're giving with it, how you're saving. It's a process. Notice the process in verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him And said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, take thy bill and write 50. And he said to the other one, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take thy bill and write 80. Now, if you could envision maybe a small castle, and around the castle, perhaps a small village. And many times in ancient days, this is how the city would work. There would be the estate, there would be a king, or there would be some type of a land baron, if you will. And then there would be several others that would be renters of this estate. And the steward was over all of these affairs of his owner, of his master. And here we see that this steward begins to go to the others on the property and saying, how much do you owe? And this is what you can pay. And he began to redeem. And he began to do what he could do to redeem his master's property. He made a plan. And he said, I'm going to go to this one first and then to this one next. Be sure that you have a plan for your finances. Be sure that you live according to a budget. Recognize the importance of counting the cost. The Bible says in Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? It's about living according to order and stewarding God's blessings well. And we see that in the life of this steward, that he made a plan and then he began to live according to that plan. And so I encourage you to have a plan, have a family budget, review the budget, study your costs against that budget. Watch those variances. Seek counsel if you're not sure of what to do. Limit certain things in order to meet that budget. And then he proposes the settlements and he said, I'm going to try to get 50% here or 40% there in order to steward to the best of my ability. Notice in verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. The Lord said, you know, you're doing better now. By the way, how many of you like to have a good grade on your report card, right? And the Lord said, hey, this is good. You're starting to bring something in from what I gave to you. And notice that in verse 8, he commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Notice this phrase, very interesting. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than children of light. In other words, Jesus said, you know, sometimes the unsaved do better at this than you do. And I have a conviction that Christians ought to be the best when it comes to generosity and planning, when it comes to stewarding. But Jesus said, you know, sometimes the unsaved does better. And I've tried to read a couple of stewardship books every year, and sometimes I'll read some written by unsaved, and I don't always agree with them. A lot of them will talk about the tithe, and they'll say the tithe or Christian education is discretionary spending. I don't view it as discretionary. I view it as the priority on my budget. The largest checks that we write every month are to the Lord's work, and it's not a discretionary matter for our family. It's a conviction to us to honor the Lord with our first fruits and with our offerings. And so not everything in the secular world can be trusted, but we can learn sometimes from corporations, from auditors, from secular authors, how to do a better job with what God has given to us. And that's what Jesus says there in verse 8. It's progressive. It's something we do daily. And listen, the little decisions we make daily will impact eternity and they will impact our family for years to come. Notice in verse 9, in fact, it says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, mammon is Aramaic for money. It just speaks of the money. And God says, make friends of this mammon of unrighteousness. Notice this, that when ye fail, which means when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. This verse indicates that we can, through our making friends of mammon, through our investment with mammon, through our giving with mammon, that there will be people actually in heaven that welcome us, that we helped to know Jesus. When we fail, we're going to see people that came to the Lord. You know what I believe? I believe that when I get to heaven, there are going to be people from Africa and Asia, and they're going to come up to me and they're going to say, thank you for giving so that the missionary could tell me how to get saved. When I fail, I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to meet people that came to know the Lord. So this progressive stewardship, it really will impact all the way into eternity as we are faithful with what God has given to us. And that's why we want to use our affluence for eternal influence. Use our affluence for eternal influence so that when we fail, we will be blessed to see what God has used us to do when we get to heaven. One of my favorite illustrations of this is my granddad, Paul Bryan Chapel. And I wish I had time to show you a whole slideshow of the farm in Colorado and pictures of my granddad. He was a great man. He never had any education past the eighth grade. One day there was a farmer, he was farming, and there was a soul winner that came out to his farm in Colorado and began to talk to him about what it means to be saved. And there, over the fender of a John Deere tractor, he prayed and accepted Christ as Savior. And he got so excited about Jesus, my granddad did, that he memorized the book of Romans. I mean, he could quote that book of Romans, and he began to lead people to Christ and help to start a church near Cortez, Colorado. And then he retired in his 50s, and he went up to Moab, Utah. If you've ever been up to Moab, it's kind of a red rock place. Colorado River comes through there, Mormon country, of course. And my granddad started going door to door and telling those Mormons, hey, the Jesus of the Bible was not Satan's brother. And there's only one true Christ, and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to win Mormons to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he took from his retirement money, and he paid for the building of this Moab Baptist Church. If you're ever in Moab, go to the Moab Baptist Church, and when you go in, go to the Paul B. Chapel Library, and you'll see a beautiful memorial to my granddad, and you'll see a lot of my books there as well that we've given to that library. But the fun thing about this church is that every year, the pastor, he sends to me the annual report of the church. And he sent me the annual report this week, and he says to me, he says, Pastor Chapel, your grandpa's in heaven, but he being dead is still speaking. And when he failed, when he died and went to heaven, he met people that were saved through the ministry of the Moab Baptist Church. And I read that report and I read about the activities and the outreaches and the people that were saved and they were baptized. And what I'm trying to tell you is it's a joy to plan your budget and include in your budget the work of the Lord, because one day you actually have an opportunity to impact for eternity the things that God has done in the lives of people. That's why the Bible says this. Look in your notes, Matthew 6:19. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. By the way, think about how blessed Americans are. We not only have a two-car garage full of stuff, many people have to rent more space for their stuff. And God says, don't lay up everything that's going to rust and corrupt and be stolen, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we see here this morning the responsibility of a steward is so clear that it is personal. I am resolved. I am going to steward for my Lord and with my God in mind, and that it is progressive. I'm going to manage the affairs of this world so that I can touch the next world as I give to the things of God. Sometimes people that don't manage well, they see a need and they can't get involved in giving. They feel bad. They get discouraged. They want to quit. Let me encourage you this morning. Resolve to be a better steward. Resolve to be a generous steward. Progressively, daily stewarding well for the glory of God. So, we see the requirement of a steward to be faithful, to give an account. The responsibility of the steward in this life and for the next life. And then notice finally and thirdly this morning, the recommendation to the stewards.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chapel on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchapel.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.